Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bamatsiya Daf Samach Zayin. We left off on Daf Samach Vav Amud Beis. We are at Rav Bar Shaba, which is about, I guess, 12 lines from the end of the page. The first one line is Idis on Daf Samach Vav Amud Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, Adlila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Alea Shalom, and also by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. I don't remember if Avi sent me anything else. I think that's it. Yeah, okay. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. And today what we're going to discuss is the following. First, we're going to continue our discussion from yesterday about the dinim of Asmachta. So this story with Rav Bar Shaba that we're about to quote relates to the Gedar of Asmachta. Then the Gemara is going to get into the sugya of Mechila Bita'us, that if a person is Mochel, but the Mechila happened based on a false premise, is that considered to be a Mechila? The Gemara is then going to bring a story of buying land from a relative, a story where someone sent a shliach to buy land from a relative of hers, and there was some issue related to asmachta in that story, so that's why the Gemara brings that maisa over here. And then, starting on the toward the bottom third of Amud Aleph and going through the rest of the daf pretty much, the Gemara discusses halachos that relate to two different types of mashkon that they used to have. They used to have some places where it was Asra de Mesalki, it was a place where the minig was that the lova always had the right to get the malva out of the land that was being used as a mashkon by simply just paying up the loan. So that's an Asra de Mesalki, and other places where it was an Asra de Lo Mesalki, a place where the lova did not have the right to get the malva out of that land until the time is up for that for the loan to be paid, and then he could repay the loan in full and get the malva out of the land. But up until that point, that land remains a mashkon. So the Gemara is going to discuss what about returning peiros that are eaten from a field that was a mashkon in both of those contexts. And then the Gemara is going to discuss whether a mashkon of land is considered to be karka for legabe a number of different dinim. We know, for example, Bechor is notel pishnayim in karka, but not a metaltalin. So what about a mashkon, a land that was given as a mashkon? We know if a person owns karka, so then you could, the halacha is, if Shemitah comes, the Shemitah is Meshami L'chov, and we don't say that the Chov is already collected from through the if a person has Karka, then it could be that if you didn't make a prosbul, that it's as if it's already collected. And we're going to discuss also whether when you have these two models of Asra de Mesalki and Asra de Lo Mesalki, can you go against the local minute? Can you make it deny that even though we're in an Asra de Mesalki, we're in a place where I have the right as a Lova to throw you out of the land as soon as I pay up the chov, that we're going to change it, that we're going to change the deal, and in one direction or the other. So let's begin again. Rav Bar Shaba, about 12 lines from the end of the page, on Daf Samach Vav Ambe. So the Gemara tells the story. Rav Bar Shaba borrowed money from Rav Kahana, have a mask by Rav Kahana Zuzay, and therefore Rav Kahana wanted his money back. So Amalei, so Rav Bar Shaba said to Rav Kahana, listen, ilo parana lecha, if I don't pay you liyom ploni by a certain date, govi mehai chamra, I have wine over here that you can always collect from, and let's assess the value of the wine right now. It happened to have been a time of the year where wine was pretty cheap, so we'll assess the value of the wine right now, and if the value of the money that I owe you corresponds to X number of barrels of wine, good, so that's what I'm going to pay you back. If I don't pay you back in cash by a certain date, you'll be able to collect X number of barrels of wine. So Savra Papa Lemeimar, the Rav Papa thought to say that Rav Kahana is allowed to collect the money that he's owed from the wine, even if by the time it comes time to pay it, the wine goes up in value, because Rav Bar Shava was makna to him the wine as in lieu of payment, and that's not considered an asmachta. So when would we say that asmachta lokanya, the malva is not able to collect the value of the chov from the item that they had designated? Hani mili ba'ara, that's when it comes to land that you're going to say, because the lav lizbune kaima, because land is not generally something that people are interested in selling. So we could assume that if a guy says, look, if I don't pay you back the cash and you can take away my house, we don't think he wants to give up his house. That's an asmachta. The only reason he said such a thing is because he thinks he's going to pay it up. He doesn't think it's going to come to the point of them taking away his house. Aval chamra, but when it comes to wine, Kivan de Lizbune Kai, since wine in general is meant for selling, so Kisuzi Dami, what difference does it make? Whether it's wine or money, that's not an asmachta. He meant to pay it back, whether it be with cash, whether it be with the wine, and therefore the Malda has every right to collect from the wine. So I'm later food bread of Shul Rav Papa, so Rav Bread of Shul says Rav Papa, I disagree. No, they said in the name of Rabbah, Kol di lokani. Anytime you are being mechayiv yourself in something with a lashon of e, of if this happens, if it happens this way, then that's an asmachta. What you're really saying is, I hope it doesn't happen this way, and I'm really planning on paying you back. Oh, if I don't pay you back, then you could take this really expensive wine, then you could take my house. Anytime, it doesn't matter if it's wine, a house, or anything else. Whenever there's e, whenever there's de, lokani. So over here also, it's if I don't pay back the chov by Yom Ploni, then you're going to be able to get this wine. That's lokani, that you're not able to be kona. So wait a second, is that really true? Every time you have de, it's lokani. Isn't that just what a tanai is? Tanai, oh, we always have tanai in Mecca Chumemkar. So tanai is always an assumption of if this happens, then I do this, that, or the other thing. So an important Tosos over here in Dibra Maskel de, where Tosos points out that generally what makes something a smachta is when it's beloshon guzma, when it's said bederech guzma, it's said as something like exaggerated. If I don't pay you back these $10 by next week, you get my house. Your house? You owe me $10. Why would you promise me your house? Something that's a guzma, something that's an exaggeration. That's where we say that it's an asmachta. So he says over here, since he's being mechayev himself to pay the wine at a cheap rate when he knows that the wine is going to go up in value, because there are seasons of the year where wine is going to be much more expensive, that's considered guzma. That's considered to be something that's an exaggeration and that he didn't really mean to say that. And that's why, so it's not kol de, but it's any de where there's a guzma involved, then we say lo kani. So now the Gemara discusses Amar Rav Nachman, Hashto da Amar Rabbanan, Asmachta lo kanya. Once we say that Asmachta lo kanya, going back to our core case that we were dealing with, which was the case of the Mishnah, where someone says, if I don't pay you back the loan that I owe you in 3 years, so the field that I gave you as a mashkon, which is worth way more than the loan that I owe you, you get to keep that field. That was our case of asmachta. So if asmachta lokanya, the field does not belong to the malva, even though the lova does not pay his chov within the 3 years. And if the malva, so if the malva then holds on to that karka and he eats the peros of that karka after 3 years because he thought he gets to keep it because that was their deal. He didn't realize asmachta lokanya. The guy made me a deal. If he doesn't pay back, I get to keep the karka, so I'm keeping the karka and I'm eating the peros. So he thinks he's allowed to do that and he keeps on eating the peros. And then the lova comes back and is toveya the karka, hadarara the hadripiri. The malva has to give back the karka and he also has to give back the peros that he's eaten the entire time that he was in the karka was in his rishus. Rashi writes, meaning after 3 years from the halva'a. And the Gra understands that what Rashi means is only the peros that he's eaten past year three, he has to give back. But whatever he ate prior to that, since he did not eat those peros with the understanding that it was his field, he ate those peros with an understanding that it's that he's going to give the field back. So that's avak ribis. Avak ribis, you don't have to be maxir. We're not maxir b'dayanim. So you shouldn't do it, but that's only avak ribis. Whereas the whatever he ate after 3 years, he was eating with the assumption that it's his field, but it's not his field, because asmachta lokanya. So that he has to give back. So even though the Lovin knew, the key over here is that the Lovin knew that the Malva was eating these peros after 3 years, and he didn't say a word. So you might think, oh, so the Lovin is mochel. No, that's what we call a mechila bitaus. Because the fact that he didn't say a word is because the Lovin also thought that the Malva has the right to keep the field. He didn't realize that asmachta lokanya, and that the Malva does not have the right to keep the field. Had he known that, he never would have been mochel those peros. So you see that a mechila bitaus is not considered a mechila, and therefore the Malva needs to return the peros that he ate after year three. So ask the Gemara, Lemeimet, Sav Rav Nachman, Mechila B'taos, Lavi Mechila? Really? Rav Nachman holds Mechila B'taos is not a Mechila? If a person sells the fruits that will grow on this dekel tree, but have not yet grown, that will grow on this dekel tree, L'chaveru, to his friend, and turns out that he's selling something that's lo b'li olam, it doesn't exist yet, so there's nothing something for the mechira to be chal on. So Amrav Huna ad shalobo liyalim, prior to the growth of those peiros, so yachal achzer bo, either party is able to be chozer to back out of the agreement, because there was nothing, the kinyan wasn't chal, because there was nothing upon which the kinyan could be chal. So it's just a verbal agreement, and a verbal agreement they can back out on. Mishabo liyalim, but once the peiros exist, so then the kinyan that they made is going to be chal on those peiros, and in yachal achzer bo, now neither of them are allowed to back out of the agreement. Rav Nachman Amar, and Rav Nachman says, af mishabo liolam yachal achzer bo. Even after the peiros exist, they could still be chozer, because the kinyan is not going to be chal, because a person cannot be makna davar shloba liolam. So since at the time of the kinyan, the peiros did not yet exist, neither of them had smichas das, had gemiras das, in order to effectuate a kinyan, and therefore, even though the peiros came into the world a little bit later, the kinyan is not going to be chal, because at the time of the kinyan, there was nothing upon which the kinyan could be chal. V'omer Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman says, even though I say the kinyan is not chal, modina di yishamet v'achel, amodet ravuna, that if the lokeach, the guy who was supposed to be buying these peiros from the tree, starts picking them and eating them, and the mocher leaves it alone and doesn't say a word, and just watches and doesn't object at all, so lo mafkinen minei, then we do not take the peiros away from that lokeach, because even though the mechir was not chal, but so long as the mocher did not tell the guy that he's being that he's being chozer from the mechira, it seems that he's being mochel for the achila that the lokeach is doing, even though the mechila was bitaus, because why was he mochel? He thought the kinyan was really chal. He thought a kinyan of davar shelo b'liolam is a real kinyan, so he thought the lokeach is the rightful owner of those peiros. So that's why he didn't say anything. He didn't know the kinyan wasn't really chal, and therefore the lokeach has no rights to those peiros. So yes, he was mochel, but it was a mechila bitaus. So you see over here that Rav Nachman holds a mechila bitaus is binding. It's a real mechila, and that's a steer in Rav Nachman, because we just got through saying that Rav Nachman holds a mechila bitaus is not a mechila. Since the Gemara really Rav Nachman holds a mechila b'taus is a mechila. When Rav Nachman says that the malva has to return the peiros that he ate from the field, that's because achilas peiros looks like ribbis, and that's why it's not a stira. Hasam, when it comes to selling the peiros of the dekel, which is lo b'liolam zvini, that's a sale. It's not a halva'a. So no one's going to look at that and think, oh, that's ribbis. So therefore, it's purely dependent on mechila b'taus, and mechila b'taus, the halacha is that mechila b'taus is a valid mechila. But hacha, but in our case of a smachta, it's halva'a, meaning it's a case of a loan. So in the case of a loan, forgetting mechila b'taus, you have something bigger to worry about. You have to worry about the fact that it looks like ribbis. So that's why he has to be machzir the peiros, not because the mechila b'taus doesn't work. A mechila b'taus works, but it's going to look like ribbis. So if it looks like ribbis, I better return it. I don't want something that that people are going to look at and are going to think that it's ribbis. So asks Rava on this idea that a mechila b'taus counts as a mechila. Amar Rava, having a simna kamed Rav Nachman, I was once sitting in front of Rav Nachman at the time that he said that he's moda, that if lokeach eats the peiros from the dekel tree, he doesn't have to return them, because even though the mechira is not chal, the guy is mochel, and even though it's a mechila b'taus, a mechila b'taus is really a mechila, and I had a bomb kasha on him from a din of ona'a, va'od chazisan islandis, and he had a raya to his shita that mechila b'taus works as a mechila from a din of islandis. So now he's speaking in code, right? He said, I had a kasha from ona'a, he said, back in islandis. So the Gemara has to elaborate, what was the kasha from ona'a, what was the raya from islandis? So says Gemara, v'arei ona'a, Rava's kasha from ona'a was that we had a din by ona'a, that if a person misprices something, he sells something that's worth 5 slotim for 6 slotim, so you have to return the extra seller, even though the lokeach gave all 6 slotim willfully, no one forced him to do anything, so he was mochel on that. Oh, must be, because why do you have to return it to mechila b'taus? Yeah, he willfully gave you that 6th seller, but he didn't know that the item's only worth 5. So yes, he was mochel on the 6th seller, but it was only with the assumption that it was worth 6. six slaim. So that's why you have to return it. It's not a valid mechila. So that was my raya that mechila betaus is not a valid mechila. Va'odik and Rav Nachman brought a raya chazisa eilunis. He brought a raya from eilunis. What was his raya from eilunis? Harei eilunis. If you have a case of a guy who marries a woman and it turns out that she's an eilunis, she never physically mature. She's never going to be able to have children. So the kiddushin is a kiddushe taus. So therefore, they're not really married. And nevertheless, the husband does not have to return whatever payros he ate from her nechassim, so long as he thought she was his wife. Meaning he married her when she was very young. So he figured she'll grow up, she'll mature, she'll one day be a woman and she'll be able to have children. So in the meantime, he thought they were married and he's eating all the payros from her properties. He does not have to return those payros. Why? Because probably she was mocha those payros when she thought she was married to him. The mechila betosi. That's a mechila betos. And have your mechila. And he doesn't have to return it because that's a binding mechila. So you see a raya from the case of eilunis that a mechila betos is a binding mechila. So says Gemara, ditnan, how do I know that halacha by an eilunis? We have a mishnah that tells me, hamama enes, hashnia va'eilunis. Three cases. The third one is the one that we are focused on. The ma'enes is a ketana whose father's no longer alive and her mother and her brother marry her off. And at some point she decides she's not interested in that marriage, so she has the right to walk away from that marriage without even receiving a get. A shnia is shnios la'arayos, one of those women that you're not allowed to marry on a drabbanon level, so she marries her husband be'isser, and then her husband dies, or they get divorced. And eilunis is a woman, as we're talking about, that he marries a girl and she's a katana, he thinks she's going to physically mature, at some point it becomes evident she's not physically maturing, so it turns out that the whole kiddushin was betos. So in all those cases, ein lahen, the Baal does not have to give to these women lo ksuba. He does not have to give them the chiyuv that's written in the ksuba. Even and not only that, even that which she brought in as the nedunya, which normally we assess in the ksuba, that he's got to reimburse whatever she brought into the marriage as the nedunya. You don't have to even pay that back. Velo peros, and nor does he have to give back any of the peros that he ate from her properties while they were married. Velo mazonos, and if she ever had to borrow money in order to support herself, in order to eat, he does not have to pay back those loans. Velo blaos, and if she brought in begadim as part of her nedunya, even if they're still around, he does not have to give back those begadim. So you see that the husband does not have to return that which he had eaten from his wife's properties even though she turns out to be an islandess, and it turns out that the entire kiddushin was not a valid kiddushin. Why? Because she was mochel, she thought she was married, so even though it was a mechila betaus, the mechila betaus is binding, and that's the raya that Rav Nachman has to this concept of mechila betaus. So again, Rav Nachman says mechila betaus is a binding mechila. So the Gemara said, well, ona'a, the din of ona'a goes against Rav Nachman, Rava said, and the din of islandess seems to support Rav Nachman. Says Rav Elohi, all of it's incorrect. Lo ona'a havit yuvtei, ona'a is not a problem for Rav Nachman, velo islandess misayele, and islandess is not a raya to Rav Nachman. How so? Lo ona'a tiyuvtei, the din of ona'a is not a kasha, meaning we tried to bring a raya from ona'a. The fact that the guy, you have to return that sixth sella that the guy paid for the mispriced item shows that his mechila betos is not a mechila. No, the loyota di isay ona. The lokech didn't even know what was happening, that there's ona at all. Demachle gabe mechila implies that I knew you were taking something from me that you're not really entitled to, but I knew you were taking that which was really mine, and therefore and a mochel. Over here, he didn't think that the guy was taking anything. It was just an exchange. I'm giving you money. You're giving me an item. I didn't know that there was not even knowledge that he was taking anything from him. Velo island. So therefore, it's not a raya to mechila at all because it wasn't bederech mechila. Velo islandess misayele, and there's also no raya from the din of an islandess because the mechila of the woman on the peros is not a mechila betaus, because the chachamim assume that even if she would know that at the end of the day this marriage would be declared void and that they are not married, she would still be mochel on the peros. Denichla de tepikal hashmadi ishus, because everyone will know that for some time she was married, and she'd rather be known as someone who was not single her entire life, that at some point she was married, even if it means giving up those payrolls. So it's not a mechila. In the first case, it wasn't a mechila. By eilunis, by ona'a, it wasn't a mechila. By eilunis, it wasn't a ta'us, meaning she's mochel, but it wasn't a ta'us. She's perfectly happy to be mochel those payrolls. So that's why neither one is a raya. So it says in Mar, we have another maisa. It's a dam lelu gavra. A woman said to a certain guy, not related to her, just a man, zil zavin li arami krevai, do me a favor, you're my agent, I would like for you to could go and buy a piece of property from a family member of mine. So Azul Zavana, the shliach, went and he bought the property from the family member. Amalei, so the family member who was selling the property said to the shliach, listen, I'm selling this property because I need the money, but if I ever come up with the money, I want to have the rights to buy back this property. So Amalei, the shliach said to the mocher, you and the woman, you're related, leave me out of this. Meaning, I don't know what, you want to have some sort of family dispute or figure it out, you know, what belongs to. I was just told to buy the property, so I'm going to buy the property. You could figure it out. I'm not getting involved. So Amar Barav Huna, Kigon Ad V'Navla Achei, Sam Chadayte V'lo Gamar Makni. Whenever he says something like that, he's not saying it that he's not maskim to the Tanai. Adraba, the Mocher has a Smichas Das that the woman is going to be maskim to that Tanai, and therefore he's only being makna the karka with that Tanai. And if the Mocher ever comes up with the money and wants to buy the land back, he has the right to buy the land back. So says Gemara, Arahadra Pirimai. Okay, so he has the right to buy the land back. What about the peros that the woman eats in the interim before the guy buys the land back? So do we say ribis ktsutza v'vyotza b'deyanim, that is considered ribis ktsutza, and therefore she has to return the peros, because the halacha we pass on like Rabbi Lazar against Rabbi Yochanan, that ribis ktsutza is yotza b'deyanim, o dilma ki avak ribis havu, or maybe, nah, it's not ribis ktsutza, it's avak ribis vein yotza, and therefore you cannot force her to pay the peros back. Says Mar Amra Rav Huna Mistavra Kevak Ribisavu Vein Yosef B'Deyanim Chenam Rava Kevak Ribisavu Vein Yosef B'Deyanim. That is only a vak ribis, that is not Yosef B'Deyanim. You cannot force him to pay it back. So the Gemara says, well, why isn't it ribis ketsutza? There are two possibilities. One possibility of why this would not be considered ribis ketsutza is because they never set an actual price of the ribis. The other possibility was why it wouldn't be ribis ketsutza is this wasn't a loan, it was a sale. So anything that's not done derech halva'a, you're not going to call ribis ketsutza. It was a sale with a right to buy it back. Nafkamina is, what if they did it derech halva'a, but they never had named the price of the ribis? So Amalei Abaye L'Rabba, mashkanta mai. What if someone lent money to his friend and he gave him a mashkon, a field as a mashkon for the halva'a, but he never made a set arrangement that the malva is going to eat the peros as ribis? He just didn't say anything. He didn't say what's going to be with the peros. The malva on his own went and he ate the peros from the field. He worked the field, he produced peros from the field, he ate the peros from the field. So are those peros going to be considered ribis ktsutza that are yotze b'dayanim, and the malva is going to have to return that? Or do we say that, no, that's only a vak ribis, and the malva will not have to return the peros? So Abai says, what are the tzadim? Do we compare that to the previous din that we just said of the lokeach, you know, the woman who had bought the field from a relative, where it's only a vak ribis? Hasam time am I? Why in that case was it only a vak ribis and not ribis ketsutza? Mishum delo katzle, because they never established a price of the ribis that the woman's going to eat the peros as the ribis on account of the fact that that she's letting the relative hold on to her money for a while. So achanami lo katzle, in this case of a loan as well, they never named a price that he's allowed to eat these peros. O dilma, or maybe no, maybe there's a difference between the two dinim. Hasam zvini hachal va'a. In the case of the woman with her relative, it was a sale. So derech metach, you're going to say that's only a vak ribis. But over here, it's an actual loan. So maybe when it's a loan, that's called ribis ketsutza. So Amalei, Rabbi responds to Abaye, we should compare this to the din of Rabbi Barav Huna. And just like in that case, it's not even ribis ketsutza, it's only a vak ribis. Who adin by this case? Hasam time amai, mishum delo katzle, achanami lo katzle. It's not about whether it's derech mekach or derech halva'a. The key factor is that they never had made as part of the written arrangement or the verbal arrangement that you get to eat the peros on account of the fact that I'm holding on to your money. So since they never made that part of the arrangement, that is not ribis ketsutza. So I'm Rav Papi. Rav Papi said, I'm not so sure about that. Avad Ravina Uvda. A maisa happened where an actual case came to Ravina where someone sold something out tonight that if the mocher wants, he should be able to buy it back, the chashiv, and Ravina figured out how much the peros, how much of the peros the lokeach had eaten over the course of time, the apik peri, And he made him pay back the payros. Delok, Rab Baravuna, against Rab Baravuna. Rab Baravuna thought it was only Avak Ribbis, it's not Yotzi B'dayanim, because he said against Rab Baravuna. And the reason is, even though it's not Ribbis Kitzutza, the payros belong to the Mocher. And the fact that the Mocher was Mochel on those payros is a Mechila B'taos, and Mechila B'taos is not a Mechila. So leaving out questions of Ribbis, this was we have the other Sugya, the Mechila B'taos issue. And this is a Mechila B'taos, and therefore it's not a mechila, and that's why Ravina disagreed with Rabba Barav Huna's psak that it's that the fellow does not have to pay back the peiros in that case. So now the Gemara moves on to a discussion again, also about returning peiros, but this discussion presumes that we're familiar with two different types of mashkonos that they used to have when they would lend money. So they had different minhagim. Some places the minhag was that after they made an agreement about the halva'a, the malva would have the field that was given as a mashkon for the period of time, whatever the tekufa was, let's say 3 years, and during that 3 year period, the lova is not able to throw the malva out of the land. And even if he pays back in full. That's an asra delomasalki. Asra delomasalki means it's a place that the lova has no right to throw the malva out of the land that's being used as the mashkon. In such cases, the eating of the peros in that land is not considered ribbis. Even if the malva does not deduct the cost of those peros from the chov, because since the lova is not able to throw him out of the land during that time period, it turns out that it's not really a halva'a. It's just that since he needed the money, we view it as if he sold that property for X number of years. So, meaning, I borrowed $1 million from you. I gave you this land. And then I have the right to pay you back $1 million and get my land back. But that's only, I cannot pay you back and get my land back till 3 years from now. So we view that as if I sold you a land for $1 million now. I'm going to buy back the land in 3 years from now. Okay, so in the intervening 3 years, you're allowed to eat whatever you want. It's your property. However, there are other places where the minig is that as soon as I pay you back, I can get my land back at any point. It could be 6 months later, I can come pay you back and get my land back. Ooh, so that's not that I sold you land. That's that I borrowed money from you, and now it's a ribbis issue. Now you're going to not only get your money back, you also can eat the payros from that land. So that already is an issue of ribbis. The achilas payros in that case are going to be considered ribbis. So with that background, the Gemara discusses Amar Marbre Rav Yosef Mishmei Derava Hamashkanta Ba'asra De Mesalki, a mashkon in a place where the minig is that they're able to throw the malva out of the land as soon as he pays back the chov. Achal Shir Zuzi, if the malva ate payros that correspond to the amount of the actual loan, misalkinale, once the malva ate enough payros to equal up the full price, the full amount of the loan, then the lover could say, okay, now you've been paid back, give me back my land, because I'm sure you don't intend to eat those payros as ribbis, right? You're obviously, why would you want to do ribbis? Obviously you're eating those payros as payment for your chov, so now your chov is paid back, give me the land. Achal Tfei, if the malva eats more than the amount, the loan was for $500,000. The malva's already eaten $600,000 worth of produce from this land. Lo mafkinamine, then you can't get the extra beyond the value of the halva from him, because that's not considered ribbis katsutsa. That's avak ribbis. It's ribbis, but it's avak ribbis. So I'm not able to sue him in court for that. It's not yotzei b'dayanim. V'lo mechashvin mishtar l'shtara. And if he has another chov in another shtar, we don't count the extra $100,000 that the guy ate from the payros of the karka to count toward that. Meaning, yeah, I borrowed $500,000 from you, and at a different point, I borrowed $150,000 from you. So we don't say, oh, the $500,000 of payros he ate from this land, that was the mashkon, that pays off this chov, and the extra $100,000 that he ate will go toward paying off another chov. No, we don't do that. It's just ribbis, and it's ribbis she'eino ketzutza, so it's not yotze b'dayanim. Ubidiyasmi, however, if the halva'a was for the sake of yisomim, and the karka that was given to the lender was karka that belongs to yisomim, so then, achal shir zuzim misalkinalei, if he eats exactly corresponding to the loan, we can throw him out of the karka, say the loan is now paid. Achal tfei mafkinan minei, if he eats more than the value of the loan, then we take that extra that he's eaten as well, umechashvin mishtar l'shtara. And if the yisomim owe him other money from another place, that extra gets cheshbon from that money as well. We don't consider it to be ribbis. We consider it as if he's working. They're paying off the other debt with the extra payrolls. So Rav Ashi disagrees. Amar Rav Ashi, hasha da'amrit achal tfei lo mafkinim hinei. Now that you're going to tell me that if the malva eats from the payrolls more than the halva'a, that we cannot take that away from him because it's avak ribbis, and avak ribbis is not yotzi b'dayanim. That even if he eats only corresponding to the amount of the loan, you also can't throw him out of the land. You're going to have to pay him back the full amount of the halva. My taima, why is that the case? Because since when the malva was eating the payros, he was not eating the payros al das to subtract from the value of the loan. It was al das that this is going to be in addition to getting paid back. So that's avak ribis the whole time. Sluki below zuzei afuki. So if you take back the land without paying him back the keren, so that's taking back avak ribis. That's avak ribis, and you can't take avak ribis. So Gemara adds that Ravashi l'shitaso is not even mechalik between Yisomim and other people. Avad Ravashi uvda b'Yisom Ketanim. The story came where the Shaila was asked of Ravashi, it was Yisomim Ketanim that had to borrow money, and they gave karka as a mashkon, and the malva ate from the payrolls of that karka, and Ravashi paskin, they cannot get that karka back from the malva until they pay back the chov in full and kigadol them just as if they were adults. And we do not view it as if it's as if every pre that the malva is eating from that land is just deducting from the amount of the loan. No, it's all ribbis. So it's ribbis sheinu katzutza that he's eating, but they're going to have to pay back the money in order to get back their land. So the Gemara discusses what should you do lechadchila when you have halva'a with a mashkon in order to avoid an issa ribbis even ribbis rabbanon. I mean, all these discussions we're having now, can you get it back? Can you not get it back? Why can you not get it back? Because it's ribbis sheinu katzutza, because it's avak ribbis. So I don't want to do avak ribbis. So how do you do it in such a way where you're not violating any dinim of ribbis? So I'm a rabba, braid Rav Yosef, m'shmei de rabba, hay mashkanta ba'asu de mesalki. If you have a mashkon in a place where the minag is that they are mesalik, that you have the right to throw the malva out as soon as you come up with the money, lo nechol ela b'nechyasa. The malva should only eat the peros of the karka if he's going to use that, whatever he eats as a deduction from the actual amount of the loan. And that way will not be avak ribbis. The only way to avoid avak ribbis is if you say, this isn't ribbis at all, this is actual payment of the loan. V'tzor mid rabbanan and tamil chacham, who always has to be machmer in himself and do the things that are above board, afil bi anachyas l'neichel. He shouldn't even eat from the peros of the karka when he has a mashkon, even if he's going to deduct it from the amount of the loan. El b'may neichel. So then how can the tzor b'may rabbanan ever eat from, they give him land as a mashkon, shkayach, what am I going to do with it? If I'm not allowed, is not allowed to eat from it. So b'kitzusa, he could do if it's a davar katzuv that they could set in advance from how many years he's going to eat peiros, and the Gemara is going to say what this does and how this works. But that's how you do it. That tzur mirabanan does a b'kitzusa. So says Gemara, but there's a machlokas amurayim whether kitzusa is mutar or aser. Hanich lemanyam kitzusa sharia lemanyam kitzusa asira ma'ik lememar. That works well that a tzur mirabanan could do that if you hold that that's mutar to do. But if you hold that it's also to do, then how could a tzur mirabanan do it either? So before the Gemara answers the shayla, the Gemara says, well, what exactly is kitzusa and what's this machlokas about and what are we even talking about? You can't answer the question until you understand the question. So now the Gemara says, let's try to understand the question first. So the itmar, the background to kitzusa is the following. Kitzusa, pligi bar Rav Acha v'Ravina. There's machlokas Rav Acha and Ravina, chad amar kitzusa sharia, v'chad amar kitzusa asira. Still doesn't help much. Now we know that we know Rav Acha and Ravina disagree about this thing called kitzusa. So says Gemara, well, hechi dami kitzusa. What exactly is kitzusa? What are we even talking about? So damle, the case is that the damle, the malva says to the lova, ad chamesh shnin, the first 5 years after the loan, achil nula b'lo nachyasa. I'm going to eat the peros of this karka, and it's not going to deduct anything from the chov. You borrowed $500,000 from me. For 5 years, you gave me this field as a mashkon. For 5 years, I'm going to use this field. I'm going to eat the peros from this field, and you will still owe me $500,000. Mikan ve'elach, shayman elach kulhu piri. after the 5 years are up, I'll consider all the payros I eat from the karka as a deduction from the chov. So the svara of the heter is because it's not near a karibis at all. It looks like he's a sharecropper, that I'm working on the field, and the deal is 5 years I get to eat the payros, and then the next 5 years you get to eat the payros. Meaning, so it's since it looks more like a sharecropping arrangement than any sort of ribbis arrangement, since they set X number of time that I'm going to get it, and X number of time you're going to get the benefits of it, that's going to be the subject of the machlokas about kitsusa. That's why it might be mutter. So, ika da amri, kol below nachyasa, anyone who eats peiros over the course of those first 5 years without deducting from the amount of the loan, even though they made such an arrangement that later on the lover will be able to eat the peiros and it will deduct from the loan, asur. That Rav Ach and Ravina would both agree it's asur to do because that's near a karibis. Aval hechi dami kitsusa. So this Igad Amri says that's not what kitsusa is. What you just described is absolutely asur. Kitsusa has to mean something else. Where they have a machlokas is a different arrangement. What's kitsusa? Da amalei, where the malva says to the lova, ad chameshinin, the first 5 years, achilna ben achyasa, whatever peros I eat is actually going to count toward the repayment of your loan. Mikan ve'elach, after that, shayaman alach kulu peri. I'll consider all the peros that I eat and I'll deduct that from the chov. Since even in the first 5 years, he's deducting. So what's the difference in the first 5 years and the next years? And in the first 5 years, they predetermine an amount. They say, okay, let's assume this field is going to give a yield of $50,000 a year. Will it be exactly $50,000? Probably not. But we're going to assume $50,000. So for the first 5 years, so we'll knock off $250,000 from the loan. After that, we're going to take an accounting. We're going to see what it actually produces, and we'll knock that off from the loan. That kitsusa, that's going to be the subject to this machlokas, whether kitsusa sharia or kitsusa is not mutter. So that's the machlokas. So again, we have this machlokas, whether kitsusa works or not, and we have a machlokas, what kitsusa even means. One possibility is it means that for the first 5 years, it doesn't count against your loan, and I just get to benefit from it. I as the lender, get to benefit from it. And the other possibility is no. For the first 5 years, we have a set amount that accounts against your loan, and after that, we're actually going to do an accounting of it. So now the Gemara goes back to its kasha. So we said, how could a Talmud Chacham ever take a field as a mashkon and be able to eat the payros from that field without running afoul of the Yisurim of Ribbis? So we said, kitsusa. So we said, okay, that works if Yold kitsusa is mutter, but if Yold kitsusa is asa, what's he supposed to do? So man dasa b'kamaisa, if you hold that the first situation, the first description of kitsusa is asur, shari b'basraisa, he'll be matir the second arrangement. So that could be what a Talmud Chacham does. Meaning, if you hold that, like the first definition of kitsusa, and that's where they had a machlokas, that means that everybody agrees that the second definition of kitsusa is mutter, right? So that could be what the Talmud Chacham does. But madi asur b'basraisa, but the one that says that the second definition of kitsusa, and there's opinion that even that is asur, well then hechi shari l'mechel, according to that opinion, that even the second definition of kitsusa is asur, for sure the first definition is asur. So then what's the Talmud Chacham supposed to do? So the answer is the Gemara, Shari ki mashkanta desura. He's allowed to eat peros if they do like the minhag of the mashkanta desura. The kasvi bahachi, where they would write as follows, b'meshlam shani ilin tebuk arada below kesef. That at the end of these years, this karka is going to go back without kesef. Meaning they set a particular amount for the years that the Maldi eats the peros from that karka, and at the end of those years, the karka goes back to the lova, and there's no chov anymore. So in such a case, it doesn't look like a halva at all. It looks like he bought the karka for the payros of X number of years. So meaning, I gave you $500,000, and we arrange in advance whatever the yield is going to be. I'm going to benefit from the payros of this karka for 10 years, then you get your karka back. So we assume that that's not viewed as a loan. That's viewed as I paid you $500,000 for the rights to have 10 years of payros from this karka. And that's fine. That's derech mecher. That's derech mekach memker. That doesn't look like ribbis at all. So that's going to be mutter. So once the Gemara said this din of a mashkon, when it comes to the issur ribbis, Gemara brings other dinim that relate to a mashkon and is mechalik between, again, the mashkon in asra de mesalki versus asra de lo mesalki. Places where they can the lova can throw you out by just paying back the chov, and places where he can't. Rav Papa Rav Huna Rav Yeshua Amri Tarvayu, Hay Mashkanta Basri de Masalki. If you have this field as a mashkon in a place where at any point the lova can come with the money that he owes you and throw you out of the land, Ein balchov gove himena. A balchov of the malve, if the malve owed somebody money, he's not allowed to take this land, even though normally a malve is allowed to take from karka that children yarshin from their father. This is not considered, even if the malve himself dies, this is not considered karka that the children yarshin from their father. It's considered like metaltalim. And metaltalim, the children yarshin from their father, a balchov cannot collect from. And if the malve dies, the Bukhar does not get twice as much of this karka, because you only get twice as much of karka. This does not have a din of karka, because he doesn't really own this karka, because at any time the lover could just come back and pay back the chov and take it back. And if the end of the Shemitah year comes before the chov is paid up and they didn't make a prusbul, Shemitah is meshamit the chov, and we don't say that it's already collected by the malva through the karka, because the karka is not really his. But in a place where they're not nohig that the lova has the right to get the malva out of the land by paying back the whole chov until the 3 years are up where the chov comes due. So that's considered that the field belongs to the malva during that tkufa, during that time period. And therefore, if the malva were to die and that field would go to the yorshim, balchov gove menu, balchov of the malva could collect that from Yisomim because it's considered karka. Bukhar notabel pishnayim, the malva's bukhar gets twice as much in that land. And Shemitah will not cancel the loan because it's considered as if he already collected the loan by virtue of the fact that he's holding on to that karka. If you have this mashkon in a place where the lova has the right to throw the malva out of the land by paying back his chov, even though the malva eats peros until the lova pays back the chov, when the lova does pay back the chov, they're misalik the mocher from the entire field, even from the dates that are sitting on the mats, meaning even on the dates that are already detached from the tree, that the malva that already detached from the tree, because he didn't do a maisa kinyan on them yet. What they would do is they would put mats underneath date trees, and then as the dates would fall, they would land on these mats, and at some point he'd go and he'd roll up the mats and he'd collect all those dates. Even that goes back to the lova. V'yagbinu b'sisni, but if the malva had already picked up these dates from the mats and he put them in baskets, kaninu, then the malva was already kona these payrolls and they belong to him, and he doesn't have to return that to the lova. And if you hold the kelim of a lokech can be kona in someone else's property, so then these mats are the kelim of the malva, and therefore even if he did not put them into baskets, he's considered to be the rightful owner of these mats. So it says Marpshita ba'asud misalki va'amar lo mistalakna hakarmit lo mistalakna. If you live in a place where the minig is that you could be misalik the guy with prior to the term being up, and you could just pay back the lover could pay back the money and get back his field, and they decide, you know what, we're going to make an arrangement where I can't do that, where I can't get my field back. So fine, that's a perfectly viable arrangement. But if you live in a place where you cannot throw the malva out, and you say, oh, let's make an arrangement where I can. So do you need to make a kinyan that you're going to have that right, or do you not need to make a binding kinyan that you're going to have that right? We paskin that you do have to make such a kinyan. So Amar in the we'll pick up from there tomorrow. We'll pick up at that point. Okay. Have a good day, everybody.